The Richmond Theatre Critics Circle.
Curtain Call.
A discussion of all things theatre with Richmond critics and occasional guests.
Welcome to Curtain Call, Act 4, Scene 14. I'm Jerry Williams from Sifter.
I'm Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
And Susie Hoppenstock.
And first, we're going to talk about Broadway Bound, which is a Virginia Rep production at Hanover Tavern through April 28th. This is the final entry in Neil Simon's semi-autobiographical trilogy about an aspiring playwright and his family. Susie, since you just got back from California and this is probably your first show back, why don't you talk about Broadway Bound?
Yeah, it was a pleasure to see it. 2 years ago, I think, they had done Brighton Beach Memoirs. Thank you. In the same venue with essentially the same Terry Powers set, which was really expertly done in how she really jammed a ton of faces into the stage in a very credible way that worked pretty well. I mean, I think it worked very well. And there were some returning actors, Jill Barry Steinberg as Kate, the mother, Tyler Stevens as the main character, Eugene Jerome.
Who won an Artsy, I might say, for that role originally.
Yeah, I think he was the best newcomer that year.
I think so.
Yeah, that's the first time I remember noticing him as an actor, really stood out then.
And Sarah Collazo, I think then Sarah Heifetz, played the role of Blanche, and she did a lovely small turn in this, almost like a cameo, but a very lovely turn with Ken Moretti.
Well, you know, it's interesting because obviously everybody thinks of Neil Simon as comedy, ha ha ha, and this is a lot of drama. There's one scene in the first act and one scene in the second act that are extended scenes, and they're both very serious with very few little funny moments. And I thought that was very interesting because I was expecting it to be as funny as Brighton Beach Memoirs, which it wasn't. Although the two that returned, Tyler and Jill Barry, were the heart of this play, and they were still very strong and did a beautiful job. I thought he was just as charming and easy with the comedy as he was the first time. And I thought she did a great job of creating that long-suffering matriarch and making her warm.
I thought Tyler Stevens had grown in the role. He matured just as the character matured. Right. So I thought it was very nicely played. I also really, really liked that scene between the mother and son.
Right, the dance scene.
That was just heartwarming.
Right, it was the crux of the play, really.
Yeah.
I really liked the show. I did prefer Brighton Beach Memoirs. I think there's some moments in this.
I agree.
I saw it opening night that, you know, perhaps I need to tighten up. There's a few lulls in it. But yeah, I enjoyed the cast. I thought it was really interesting to see Jeff Clevenger take over the role that Andrew Boothby previously played before he passed.
Right.
I hadn't seen him in a dramatic role at least recently, and I thought he did a pretty good job.
Yeah. Good point, yeah.
But yeah, this is a little bit more serious of a show, but I thought everyone was firing on all cylinders.
Yeah, yeah. I thought the whole cast was very strong. A little bit about Steve Perrigard, the director. He kept the show as he did last time, grounded in the warmth, still managed to make the humor work. Although I thought it did drag, like you mentioned, kind of dragged a little bit more in the serious scenes. It needed a little bit more, I don't know, oomph to really make those scenes grab you as much as it might have.
I'd agree.
And speaking as someone from Brooklyn, I found that the accents, you know, this took me back to the past. They were very authentic. Even the little details in the set, you might not have even noticed that little black narrow mailbox hanging on the side of the door. You know, that's the kind of mailbox we had.
Uh-huh.
And the mezuzah hanging over the door frame, right, that the father touched as he went in.
Speaking of being accurate, Susie and I both noticed this. There were several times when Tyler Stevens' character had a cold in Act Two, and he kept coughing into his elbow, which nobody did that in the 40s.
They didn't have that then.
No. They coughed
they
into their hands.
They didn't have elbows then.
So that was a minor thing, but it did kind of bring me out of it. And I was surprised that nobody caught that before.
And that's a modern thing, coughing into your
elbow?
Yes.
Oh, yes. You wouldn't know. You're too young.
Probably
I am too young.
In the 21st century.
Yes.
It used
for
to be germaphobes. You coughed into your hand.
You didn't used to care about stuff.
You
like
used
that.
To cough in your hand, and then you shook somebody's hand.
And then you shook hands.
Anyway.
I just wanted to add, I really thought that C.J. Bergen was terrific in the role.
He did a nice job.
He was in everything at Agecroft last summer. I thought he did a great job. And Ken Moretti played the role wonderfully, but he did not read old enough to me to be the grandfather of those boys. No,
that's
just
an interesting point. So overall, I say we think this is a solid, well-done show.
Yes,
definitely.
All right, we've been talking about Broadway Bound, which is a Virginia Rep production at Hanover Tavern through April 28th. Now we're going to talk about An Act of God, which is at Richmond Triangle Players through only March 23rd, so this weekend is the last chance. God appears in the guise of a local actor, in this case Maggie Bavilac, to issue a new set of commandments that refute many current religious convictions. Julinda, I think you're the only one that's a religious person in the group. Why don't you start this one?
People of faith also have a sense of humor, some of us. Yeah, so, right. Yeah, it was very irreverent. I mean, you know, you're attacking the Ten Commandments. I mean, right. You know, God's rules and laws. And I thought it was done with a great deal of humor. Maggie Bavelock owned the show, even though there were two other people in the cast. It was essentially a one-woman show.
Absolutely.
With the little angels off on the side, though.
Those two angels were Kylie MJ Clark and Anne Michelle Forbes.
So as an atheist, I feel like this show is kind of aimed directly at me.
You know,
How so?
I mean, just the irreverence, you know, just kind of making fun of religion.
Pushing sacrilege in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I thought the first half was kind of fun, but the second half, it kind of lost its way and this where it was going. It was fun, but, you know, I've seen the skewerings of the Bible that were funnier.
I actually agree with you. I thought some of it was clever. Some of it would just seem kind of sophomoric in some of the comedy. Maggie did a great job.
I'd agree.
She handled the material well. She handled the audience. There is some interaction.
The interaction was good. And I thought Maggie herself was better than the script that she had to work
with. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And Jan Guarino, the director, kept it relatively simple so that Bavelak could really do her thing. She made the show. It was her personality really that made the show. Now, interestingly, you mentioned from atheist to non-atheist. I happened to go to the talkback. This is part of Acts of Faith Festival. I happened to go to the talkback yesterday on the show, and it was very interesting. There was a group of Jews who were there who talked about they came specifically because they wanted to hear it, and of course, it does deal a lot with the Old Testament.
Yes.
And they enjoyed it thoroughly. There were some people who went to some of the churches locally. I think it was Episcopal, maybe some Presbyterians. They appreciated it. Obviously, anybody who's going to go to Triangle Players already has to have a little bit of an open mind because it's a lesbian gay theater. So I think you were not going to have any hardcore religious fanatics going to see the show. But it does...
Unless they went to protest.
Yes, yes. And they didn't have any protests either. But I think it was a nice show. I have to say that I thought Chris Raintree's set was kind of cheesy. And I thought it was not well executed. I could see the design was kind of interesting, but it looked really cheesy. The gold was all wood, and you could tell it was wood.
And the stairs are what really bothered me. I mean, it's like supposed to be the stairway to heaven, and it was like, what, 3-4 steps?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Heaven's not that far away.
And Sheila Russ, who created the robe that God wore most of the show, kept slipping off.
So you knew that there were pajamas underneath.
Yeah, yeah.
So it wasn't as much of a surprise.
Surprise, yeah. So overall, we'd say this was kind of an interesting show.
Well, by the time we air, there'll be two shows left. So if you still want to catch it, Friday and Saturday, or when you get to see it.
If it hasn't been sold out. And we've been talking about An Act of God at Richmond Triangle Players through March 23rd. And last, Julinda and I are going to talk about Pride and Prejudice, which is a Quill Theater production at VMFA's Leslie Cheek Theater through only March 24th also. This is a stage adaptation of the popular Jane Austen romance. And since you jumped into that one, I will jump into this one. And I think this is one of those novels that should not be turned into a play. It's a sprawling story. It goes all over the place. And there's so much narration, so they have to have actors on stage explaining a lot instead of actually interacting with each other. And I think that was a flaw. And because there was so much of that, it was hard to hear. A number of people said to me, myself included, to myself, I could hear, but I couldn't understand what a lot of them were saying. And I think a lot of that was possibly the hall. Also, I think a lot of the younger actors just don't have those skills to use that projected voice. Joe Papst, who was in the show and who did a lovely job, he nailed it. I heard every word he said. And I didn't see Melissa Johnston. She was out the night I was in it. It was kind of interesting because I saw the dialect coach, Erica Hughes, play the role. She came on with script, but she did a beautiful job. She was probably the most charming performance in the show. And you saw Melissa, right?
I got to see it with Melissa Johnson Price. So even though Irene Kuykendall and Axel Burtness have the lead roles, it was Melissa Johnson Price who commanded the stage.
Right.
I really enjoyed it. Obviously, a lot more than some other people did. I felt that it was practically the most fun I've had at a Quill Theater production. I thought that the comedic pacing was done very nicely and that they just picked certain key elements out of the novel. As you said.
Right, you can't cover the
whole
thing.
There's so many subplots.
You loved all that dancing,
too. I did. I absolutely love the dancing part. And I thought they did really well with that. They didn't try to address all the subplots. They just picked a couple of them.
Right.
And I thought that that made it more manageable.
I
didn't have a problem hearing on that night that I was there either.
You mentioned Irene and Axel as the two leads. They just really didn't have much chemistry there. I mean, you know, those roles are supposed to repel each other and then be attracted and then repel each other. And I never felt any of that conflict, that drama between the two of them. Alison Page Gilman had a relatively small part as one of the daughters, as Mary. And I thought she was very delightful.
She was. I agree.
Joel White, who played Mr. Collins, who did one of those buffoonish over-the-top characters, I thought that just did not work at all. It was in the wrong show altogether. Even though I could appreciate what he was doing, and I think that was probably the director's fault for not saying, hey, let's take that back.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, the director was a guest director from out of town, Christopher Owens. He did some nice things with the show, but I felt like the whole show had the same pace and the same delivery, and so it never really went up and down, up and down. It just went straight forward. Anyway, I think we pretty much, that was not the best Quill show.
One little thing, though, that I just thought was absolutely adorable is on a technical side, with the quick changes that Melissa Johnson Price did between her characters. She'd go off stage in one outfit and she'd come back in another as a different character. And it was done so quickly that we just have to give kudos to the dresser who was backstage working with her.
Yeah, I think that's to be expected. I think if somebody's going to do a quick change, they expected to do it. And that's just part of the thing.
But the speed with which it happened just added to the humor.
Okay. We have been talking about Pride and Prejudice, which is a Quill Theater production at VMFA's Leslie Cheek Theater through March 24th. And that's going to do it for this week's Curtain Call. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more reviews and maybe some surprises. This is Jerry Williams from Sifter.
This is Rich Grissett with Style Weekly.
Julinda Lewis with RVA Art Review.
And Susie Hoppenstock.
For extended podcasts and complete reviews, visit the Richmond Theater Critics Circle website at artsies.org.